Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Good day, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to my podcast called CPA Review and More. And today we're going to go to the more side. And today's guest is Garrett Wagner. And Garrett is a CPA. And he also has another designation, which he will discuss with us and tell us what it is and how he uses it in his business. The CITP. He is founder of the company called, C3 Evolution Group. And he's also the chief executive officer. And Garrett is coming to us from Rochester, New York. Am I correct?
That's correct, Phil. Beautiful, warm, and sunny Rochester, New York.
Yes. And if you are not familiar with Rochester, New York, by the way, it is the home of Ithaca College, right?
No, Rochester is the home of like Kodak and Xerox. Ithaca College is in Ithaca, New York, about 2 hours south.
Oh, well, you see, that shows how much I remember about Rochester and geography.
Yeah.
And Cornell University is in Ithaca. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. I mean, Phil, it's a good thing this is not a geography podcast.
Well, we could turn it into that, you know, sort of like Jeopardy.
I mean, you don't have to brush up on the geography skills,
though. I know. Well, I've been out of school a long time. What do you do in your company? What does C3 Evolution do?
So, Phil, like you said, I'm a CPA. I'm also a CITP, so Certified Information Technology Professional. Been in the industry about 17, 18 years, and I founded C3 Evolution Group to provide innovative solutions to today's CPA firms. So we help them things with like vision, strategic planning, value pricing, technology, things like AI and bots, and leadership training as well. Kind of getting those skills you need to be an advisor and a consultant to your clients, and not just the debits and credits.
All right. So if I come into you, I have a business, all right, and I make... I can't think of anything. Well, I make CPAs. That's what I do, but that's not a business.
That is a business, right? Phil. That's
would you be able to help me? I would make CPAs.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's your business.
Right? Now, what type of services could you give to me, a person who makes CPAs, all right, who makes little accountants into big accountants known as CPAs? What can you do for me?
You know, so no matter what side it is, we like to start with an assessment to get a pulse for like where you are today, how ready you are as a business to be successful. And we use an online tool to help us do that. And we have a conversation. We'd say, Phil, looks like your chance for business success, long-term business success, maybe it's 6%. And based on results of the survey, we see that you don't have a clear vision for who you are, of why someone should hire Yeager CPA. And we'd work with you to clarify that vision and then kind of go down the line. Usually it starts at vision. Most businesses don't have a clear vision. And that's that first, if you don't have a clear vision as a business, you don't have a clear direction, and it's hard to go anywhere without a direction. That's usually step one.
Can I stop here? How would I know what my vision is?
Well, your vision? You should know what the vision. Let me ask you this. Why should someone hire Yeager CPA versus any of the other people out there in the marketplace today?
Why hire us? Well, I believe that we have the best course because we're the only review course that now uses the blueprints. You know what the blueprints are?
No, I haven't taken the test in a long time.
Okay. They now have blueprints. They don't have the content. Remember what the content specification was?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, now they change it and they say, all right, here's a business combinations. Let me tell you the tasks you have to know on business combinations. Okay.
Okay.
And we've actually written our books integrating this. No one else has done that. So I think that's, and also we give personal service. That's very important. There's no other course out there because it's a service that we give. Okay, there's what you want to know. That makes sense.
What makes Yeager CPA different?
Right.
So personal service and a product that's better than somebody else.
I like to think so, yeah.
Yeah. So we work with you to kind of refine that. What's your vision statement? How many people on your team know that? Does everyone on your team understand that? What makes you different? So when you interact with your customers, you're always communicating that vision and that value proposition to them. Or are you trying to, you know, as the sale come in and you're trying, someone that listens to the podcast and say, I want the cheapest CPA material possible. And you get them in there because they're trying to make a sale. You need that alignment around vision to be successful. And that's what we're seeing today in a big shift. Right. Especially whether it's the consumers or the people, people want to work for a company with a great vision, and consumers want to work with a company that also has a clear vision that they understand.
How do you deal with the fact that people come and they say, oh, we want to deal with an accounting firm. They only charge $100 a month, where these other firms are charging $1,000, and we charge $1,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't really think you're worth it. I don't think the firm you are representing is worth $1,000. Why should I pay you $1,000 versus $100 to someone else?
So that's a big problem being faced by firms today. That's kind of a new problem that wasn't there before. And really it comes down to that value proposition of, what are you selling to your customer? Most firms, what are they known for? The compliance services, audits, tax returns. Those are commodities. And people don't value those services. They might say $100 a month, I'm already paying too much. I could care less about my audit. I could care less about my tax return. Because the firm set themselves up to be the low-cost provider. You want to set yourself up to be the provider of advisory services. I'm helping you, Phil, grow your business being successful. I'm helping you grow revenue every year. Put more money in the bank. I'm helping you be more happy and fulfilled in the work you do, whatever your challenge is. But so for a firm, it's all about framing out, here's the advisory services I do. Here's the things I do proactively to help you grow your business and be successful. And I charge $1,000 for those a month. And here's what you get for that. You don't just get the compliance, the audit, the tax return. We're going to meet twice a month. We're going to talk about your KPIs. We're going to talk about your goals. We're going to talk about your objectives. We're going to do advanced tax planning and help you save real dollars every month. Maybe we'll deploy some bots inside your company to reduce labor. Whatever it is, you really got to shift out that advisory work from the compliance work. No one wants to pay for the compliance work, but people rarely question the advisory fees once you add true value. And that's a shift firms have to make. And accountants who come under the profession today, it's a great time to come because you're functioning more like a consultant to be able to get those higher fees.
Yeah, because when I was starting out in accounting in my own business, I did the standard work for companies. You know, I did the bookkeeping work. I gave them financial statements every month. I did their payroll tax returns. In fact, I did their payroll. All right. Now, that's not really important because for the payroll tax, for the payroll, there's so many payroll programs, right?
Correct.
A client can have their own payroll program or even use an outside one, which would still be cheaper than me.
Yes.
All right. So
it's a pure commodity service. No one sees a tremendous value from payroll. You can't mark up payroll. And the last thing, a lot of the bookkeeping, the compliance work, it can be audited today through today's just basic programs, some RPAs, and a little bit of AI. So once you automate all that, what do we do with our time? It freezes up to, like your job in the past, Phil, be more interactive with your client. Provide them insight to grow their business and be successful, not just say, you know, once a month, here's some compiled financial statements.
Yeah, and you know, I do tax returns, but these people who come in now say, hey, I'm not gonna pay you. I can go to H&R Block and pay a lot less, or you know, I can go and get that Intuit program, and I can do my own tax returns, okay? So, you know, how do I tell my client now that I can do tax work better than all that other stuff, okay? Is that what you train them in?
Yeah, so one of the things we'd say to that is, yeah, everyone's going to do your tax return, and that's great. We really want to look at what's the knowledge we can add to your tax return to help you be more successful. And that's usually done through bundling wealth management and financial planning. To say, hey, I'm seeing your tax return. Here's what you can do to either save some taxes, save for retirement, set up your future. And we've even played around with kind of a similar notion that you kind of mentioned where the value is. Hey, we'll do your tax return for free if we manage your assets for you. You know, bundling together CPA firms and wealth management. Hey, we'll give away the popcorn. The popcorn is a tax return. It's low cost. Nobody cares. We really want to manage their money for the client. We can make 50x on the managing their money compared to the tax return.
Garrett, as your client, do I have to become a certified financial planner and learn all that stuff?
Nope. Now, one of the shifting landscape for CPAs, and it's starting to be reflected in the CPA exam, as you talk about more content in there. But it's still for us as a profession, we got to manage that relationship with the client. And we bring in financial planners. We bring in AI experts. We bring in people that do some maybe virtual, high-end virtual CFO work or a cost segregation study, a buy-sell agreement, whatever it is. We're going to bring in those experts, and we got to focus on managing that relationship. You got to be the best CPA you can be, which means you're being a relevant advisor, we talk about sometimes, to your client. You're the one when they have a problem, you're the first call, and you provide them a solution. You don't have to do it all yourself.
But Garrett, you're telling me I should go find a certified financial planner that can work with my clients. I should find, I forgot who else you said, someone who can do estate work, draw up the will, that type of thing. All right. But Garrett, I don't hear anything you saying, what does Phil Yeager, CPA firm, how does he make money from referring this out? Is he just a full-time referral service and being a nice guy? How would I make money
from referring this out? As CPA firms evolve, we are going to make more of our money in the future from referrals. So one of the things, Phil, we see a lot of firms do to make that easy for how do you manage all these referral relationships? There's companies called virtual family offices that bundle it all together. They say, Phil, you're a CPA firm. You sign up with Virtual Family Office A, and that includes 500 various advisors that do different things. And we've already pre-negotiated the terms of the agreements and the revenue share. So when you need a financial plan or a cost seg, whatever, you can open up your yellow pages. Here's the expert. Here's the terms. Here's my referral fee. Put it in front of the client.
So I'm finding people actually will do this work that I'm referring the business to. And I'll have an agreement with them that they will pay me a certain finder's fee. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they might pay you anywhere from 10 to 30% of the total revenue, the total project price.
Is that ethical? I mean, am I doing that for the best of the client?
Yes, because here's where it comes in. And I learned this firsthand myself. Normally, as a firm, we can't do a very good job at that. I remember early on in my career, a partner came by my desk, just threw some papers on my desk and said, here you go. Set up an ESOP for this client. The client's going to pay us 10 grand to do an ESOP.
What's an ESOP?
Employee Stock Ownership Plan. That's what.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know that. Thank you. Right? I'm just a client. That's all.
Yeah. So, here we go as a firm. We charge the client all this money, and we did a pretty bad job on that ESOP because we didn't know what to do. We never did one before. They never did one again. The partner said, oh, my God, 10 grand, I can make all of that. You're not really making all that. You're having big write-offs, and you're doing a really bad job for the client. Why not bring in somebody that knows that all they do is ESOPs? Let them do that for the client. Maybe you make $2,000 as the referral fee. What would you rather have, $2,000 and a client that got an outstanding product, or $10,000 and you gave them a piece of garbage and they'll probably fire you for it when it all goes awry?
All right. I'm now doing financial planning. I'm not doing it. I'm referring out to this group called Virtual
Family Office.
Virtual Family Office. And I check them out, of course. I should check them out and see how competent they are. We don't want to refer our clients to people who don't know what they're doing. Nope. Assuming they know what they're doing, then I work out an agreement with them to get we don't want to use the word kickback, a referral fee.
You get a referral fee.
Finder's fee, yes. Okay.
Referral fee, because you're still managing that client relationship. As that project goes, you're still working in combination with this other third party to get it done, making sure that your client's represented and their best interests are met.
Now, you said something about my firm. Assuming I'm still the CPA, all right, coming to you. All right, you said something about my firm getting into advisory services.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how would that work?
That's the push right now in all CPA firms. We're all talking about that. How do you get into advisory services? Those are any services beyond the tax return, the audit, review financial statements, any of those things. Anywhere from serving as their CFO, helping them with buy, sell, estate planning, helping them buy a business, helping them sell a business, any kind of like what you consider before a consulting type engagement. When you do the CPA study exam part, the audit section, whatever it's called, you kind of talk about your scope of services, audit, review, compilation, agreed upon procedures, and other. Kind of that whole other bucket that's not under the attest guidance is a consulting or advisory service that we want to start to move towards. So for example, Phil, I also own a CPA firm. So for us, we focus on three key areas: strategic planning for our clients, serving as a virtual CFO, and financial planning and wealth management.
Those are what's strategic planning, Garrett?
Just strategic for those, planning?
Yeah.
Helping our clients, usually done in their half or a full day. We meet with our clients, help them formulate what is their strategic plan. What's their, we talked about before, what's their vision as a starting point, and what's their plan for the year? How are they going to execute that to grow their business and to be more successful? And then we'll meet with them quarterly, monthly, biweekly to follow up on that plan's execution. They're paying us to help them create a game plan and then execute it along the way.
Now, so we have the advisory services of, you help them do tax planning, estate planning?
Yep.
Right? How about, what else do you get into with the advisory services?
You know, like I said, you know, between the estate planning, there's some buy-sell agreements in there as well.
Now, you need an attorney to do the buy-sell, correct?
Yep.
So you have an attorney on staff?
We don't have an attorney on staff. We actually, you know, once again, the interesting services that are provided for our clients out there, we partner with an attorney, a law firm in town here in Rochester. They've got a very different model, kind of like we do as a CPA firm. They don't do any hourly billing. For a fixed fee a month, you get them as your inside legal counsel. So we partner with them. We use them internally for us and then for our clients. We're Phil, for your business, they might say, all right, Phil, $300 a month. We are your in-house legal counsel. You call us as much as you need. Maybe this month you call us 10 times. Maybe the next 2 months you don't call us. Whatever it is. Once again, it brings that relationship together for the client. We're now the attorney, the CPA, the financial advisor are all working together for them through tight collaboration.
Now, it sounds like they are subcontractors of yours. You're saying they're employees or are they subcontractors?
The attorney is a subcontractor.
Okay.
It's its own separate law firm, people, all that stuff.
So if they make a mistake on a buy-sell agreement, all right, can the client comes to you and says, hey, you know what? I had a breakup with my partner and that buy and sell wasn't created correctly. I'm going to go after that attorney, but you're telling me he's a subcontractor? Does that mean I can sue you also?
Bill, that's why you got to have an engagement letter, my friend.
Very important item, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's where all that stuff, and I'm not a lawyer, but that's all that stuff is kind of laid out in the engagement letter. Scope of services, terms, subcontractors, all those things are laid out. And that's why a lot of firms don't get engagement letters signed very often until they get sued and go through the ringer, then they change their tune. You really want, as you start your profession, you'll see that a lot of firms, and I'm speaking to your audience here, they might be a little lax in engagement letters. There's a reason you want those. It's always, when something goes wrong, it's your best friend.
Right. And does every one of your employees have employment contracts with you?
Yes.
They do?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now, so we're covering some of these advisory services. And of course, I'm listening to this and I'm saying, you know, I want to make as much money as possible as a CPA firm. Would you say to me, well, start doing all these, you know, start advising people on all these things. Now, of course, they're not doing the advising. Am I correct?
Correct.
They're basically saying, we have this guy, Garrett Wagner, and I'm going to refer you to him. Tell me if I'm handling this wrong. All right. I'm going to refer you to him, and he's going to find the right people for you. Is that correct?
And that's where, you know, ultimately for you as the practitioners in the industry, they really got to learn how to better communicate with their clients. Those soft skills that aren't always taught. How do you communicate with a client to figure out what's their true pain point? What's their true problem? Ask them some questions, understand what's going on in their life beyond just debits and credits. No one's going to say, oh my God, like Phil, I know you got your own business. You run the company. I'm sure you're not every night wondering like, man, I really hope someone posted the debits and credits right in QuickBooks. Like you've got different problems that hold you back from being more successful than you want to be. As accountants and CPAs, we got to ask those questions and not just the technical debits and credits.
You know, Garrett, I'm from the generation, once again, I'm still playing the client here. I'm from the generation, all right? Hey, I don't call people. I'm sorry. I just, you know, my generation has been taught to use emails, okay? I have not really been told or taught how to communicate with people. Am I going to have a problem as a practitioner?
No. What you have to do, though, just like when you start in this profession, you're going to have to learn some new skills. Because the rub is either you can learn some new skills so you can grow your firm and be more successful, or, Phil, you can keep doing tax returns. You can keep doing tax returns the next 10 years, but you've already seen it. The fees for tax returns are going down every year. Through automation, there's some studies that have been said in 10 years, we might see a 50% drop in revenue from tax returns and audits. You can keep doing this, and maybe in 10 years, your revenue's cut in half.
You don't teach your clients how to communicate, do you?
Yes.
You do. How do you do that?
So we use, so it's kind of said, you know, we do three things for the firms we work with: vision, technology, people. The people side, can we teach them how do we call it, how to be an entrepreneurial CPA? So communication side, we use the DISC framework, which DISC is a communication style tool, helping you understand how to recognize what someone's communication style is and how to communicate with people based on those communication styles.
I mean, some people just don't know how to communicate, okay?
Not necessarily. Sometimes it can be, some people's communication styles can be just more short and direct, which makes them be perceived as bad communicators. Really, that's their style. They can be very good at it. You know, typically someone like that. So for example, the DISC framework teaches two simple questions to see where they sit in the continuum. So use you, for example, Phil. So are you introverted or extroverted? Well, you see more extroverted by having these conversations here. Are you more people-focused or task-focused? Well, you see more task-focused because you're asking some very technical questions. You're asking some compliance legal questions. So I would say Phil is task-focused, extroverted. He's a D. His personality trait is D for dominant. He tends to be short to the point, direct.
What do you find most accountants are? Are they extra introverted?
Most accountants?
Are they extroverted or introverted?
Are introverted and they're task focused.
That
puts them as a C. It's called conscientious C. They're introverted, they're slow, they're methodical. They're focused on getting the task done. They don't like to make a deep people emotional connection. They just kind of focused on the routine task, i.e., hey, Phil, your tax return's done. It's April 1st. Your tax return's done. You owe the IRS $1,000 and you owe Maryland $50. Hope to see you next year. Thank you.
Is that the only thing you're going to say is you owe $1,000? That's quite
good. It's a very accounting thing to say because, once again, they're short to the point. They're task focused. They're not thinking about what's the emotional impact of you owing $1,000. To them, it's...
Yeah, I like to, when I'm with CPAs, I like to talk to CPAs who are personable, they have a sense of humor, and that's very important. I don't like to be around with people who are introverted, no matter what their profession is.
Yeah. So, no, that's why it's still a great time to be an accountant and to be a CPA, because the industry is changing so much in really good and exciting ways.
Well, that's an interesting point you just brought up. It's a good time to be an accountant CPA, yet the number of people who are taking the CPA exam has dropped by about close to 50-75% over the last 10 years.
Yep.
If it's such a great profession, why are people not majoring? Well, they might be majoring in it, but they're not taking the CPA exam, all right?
I think it's because we do a really bad job as a profession of explaining to people what it truly means to be a CPA today and the future going forward. You know, we've got this perception in our mind. If you're not an accountant, you have this perception in your mind of what a CPA is. And when we give seminars and talks and keynotes, we got this little image on the screen, this guy called Norm. Old school guy, got the green visor, lots of paper in his office. You know, no one wants to be like that. But really, our jobs are becoming much more consultative, much more engaging, much more dynamic and interesting than ever before. And that makes an exciting career. We just don't tell people, you don't hear a lot of people being excited to be an accountant. You hear a lot of people talking about how great it is to be an accountant, how great it is to be a CPA, and all those pieces. You know, we've only had one movie about an accountant, and he was a little,
Ben Affleck movie. Yeah.
It was a little intense, you know, it's hard to emulate that. But like, you know, there's several TV shows about how great it is to be a lawyer. So it drives that. I think that's part of it, is there's not as much recognition as to how exciting our careers can be. The other part is we're in a period of transition. So a lot of firms are still very backwards in the dark, which is, that's what's really driving people away. the way firms operate today, which is this old school broken model, people do not want to be a part of. And I can't blame them. I wasn't excited to work for an old school, non-exciting firm.
Do you think the firms are changing?
Slowly. There's some that are changing more than others, but it's coming more and more every day because, like you said, one of the things that's causing firms to change is the talent shortage. Like you said, the number of people taking the CPA exam is dropping tremendously. The number of people that are leaving CPA firm jobs and going into industry, I think it's up to around 26% of people leave the accounting profession every year, which is an all-time high and showing no sign of slowing down.
Of all the work you've done over the years, which have you found to be the most interesting, most rewarding?
You know, for me, the most rewarding work I do is some of the leadership training things with CPAs. Despite the fact that I went to school for accounting, I love doing leadership training, working with people, helping them learn those quote-unquote soft skills that helps them be more successful. That, to me, is the most rewarding. Whether it's web-based or in-person, leadership training is the most rewarding thing I do every day.
All right, so how did you get your leadership qualities of, what do you ask to speak in front of groups about that or?
Yes. Sometimes it's like keynote sessions and sometimes it's like 2 to 3 days of training. You know, for me, Phil, it was something that I've always been passionate about. Something that I saw was missing from my personal career and those around me. And then I spent about 10 years learning these skills in different ways myself.
Where'd you learn your skills? I'm just curious. Yes, you said you had 10 years.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
So, Phil, I am an awful student. You mentioned I went to Ithaca College. I think there was 10 people in my accounting program. If you were to rank us all, I think I was number 9 or 10 at the bottom. Just a bad student. But I do a very good job of learning on my own. I'm someone that just learns better on my own. So just, you know, reading books, upon TED Talks, upon wherever I can consume knowledge, I learned very well through just self-directed learning.
Where did you work before you got into your own firm? What did you do?
I worked for more CPA firms than I can count through my first 15 years. New York, Boston, Dallas, all around the country.
And were they the big four firms?
They ranged anywhere from, I think the smallest was 15, the biggest was like 300 people.
Would you feel you got better experience from the larger firms or the medium or smaller firms? Or which one did you get your best experience?
So it kind of depends. And I tell people this all the time. The bigger firms, you get much better training and much more in-depth training on what to do, but you do less things. The small firm, you do kind of everything, but you're kind of thrown to the fire. Just go start today and figure it out. So you see a lot of different things, but they don't really teach you how to do any of them super, super well. There's always that balancing act of you want to learn more details or do you want to learn more areas. And everyone's different is usually what I tell people.
How do you market your services?
So for us, and when we target other CPA firms, we just kind of focus on, you know, content marketing, thought leadership. So how can we be in front of our audience as much as possible? So we've got the Entrepreneurial CPA Show, and that's on YouTube. It's on iTunes. We produce content, weekly content across a variety of topics. We speak about 100 days a year at different conferences and events around the country. And then we've got an email platform, an email messaging, an email newsletter as well, which uses artificial intelligence. So every person gets a custom email tailored to them and what they like to read. And then also I write a monthly article for the CPA Practice Advisor magazine. If you're not a subscriber, subscribe, CPA Practice Advisor. Just try to stay on top of people's mind as much as possible. So when they think about how do they need help growing their accounting firm, they see us on a consistent basis.
Now, tell us about this award. Now, you said this was the third year you've gotten it?
Yeah, so the CPA Practice Advisor magazine does a national 40 under 40 list in the profession. And I think nominations are due every June and July of every single year, and you can be nominated. You kind of put your qualifications, what you've done to kind of earn it. But yeah, and then they get together and they review all the applicants and they pick who they think are the best 40 under 40 outstanding practitioners in the profession. And what's important with that, it's not just CPAs. You don't need to be a CPA to make their 40 under 40 list.
So there's only 40 people they picked out of how many?
How many? I don't know. They got to get at least hundreds, if not thousands, of applications.
Well, that's pretty good. You know, 40 people out of all of those, and you were one of those 40. It says a lot about you.
Thank you. I'm quite proud of that. I mean, that's one of my more proud accomplishments, as well as writing them for the magazine on a regular basis.
Yeah, I wish they had some awards for people a little higher in age, you know, like under 100.
You want like a top 100 under 100?
No, top 40 under 100. I don't think there are 100 people up
top
to 100.
Under 100.
Because by then, you know, if you win an award, it's staying alive. You know, I'm trying.
Well, I will pass that along to the CPA Practice Advisor team to think about that.
So is there any other words you would like to share with the people who are on here, the people who are still in school or graduating or in a job that they definitely can't stand and they possibly want to change? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say what you need to do is you need to invest in yourself every day. We talk about this a lot. You know, you're the only one that has control of your life, your career, what you want to do, what's going on. It's up to you to invest in yourself and help yourself be more successful. Because if you're not going to invest in yourself, no one else around you is. So it always starts with you doing something every day to invest in yourself. It doesn't have to be big, but just something small every day to invest in yourself.
Good advice and a very profound statement.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Garrett, I want to thank you for being on this podcast. I always enjoy talking to people. I wish people could see how well I'm so impressed with the way you dress.
Well, tell them to just check out the Entrepreneurial CPA channel on YouTube.
And what do you talk about on that?
We talk about things from the changing landscape in the profession, advisory services. We talk about AI, blockchain, RPA, different soft skills you need to be successful, cybersecurity, a whole range of different topics.
And when are you on? Is it a live? It's live broadcast?
It's not live. Usually we release anywhere from 2 to 4 episodes a week. Each episode's anywhere from 6 to 12 minutes in length.
Okay, so it's not as long as this. And what do? You bring on guests, that type of thing?
It depends on the show. When it's me and Dr. Sean, it's usually just the two of us. We've got a podcast where we interview people as well. So we've got some different shows with some different formats along the way.
So sounds like an interesting show. And once again, what is the name of that? Just mention it again one more.
The Entrepreneurial CPA Show or channel.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. I want to thank our listeners, our subscribers to the CPA Review and More. This is Phil Yeager. And once again, thank you. Have a good week and be good to each other. Take care now.
Thanks so much for listening to the CPA Review and More. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.